Let us now open our Bibles together this evening to God's Word in 1 Timothy chapter 6. The texts that the girls have chosen for their confession of faith are the verses 11 and 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is God's Word. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. They that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some, professing, have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. As I said, the text that was chosen is verses 11 and 12. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I'm sure that when you were little girls, your mums and dads would say to you, "Don't fight. Don't fight with your sisters. Don't fight with your brother. I'm sure you heard that many times. They, of course, were saying to you that you need to learn, we all need to learn, not to be selfish, but you needed to learn to be kind to other people. But tonight, God, your Heavenly Father, says to you, fight. Fight the good fight of faith. This is a good fight. The word good here is literally excellent, noble, spiritual fight. Fight over the truth of God in your life. Fight to live exactly according to the confession of faith that you have made tonight. Fight to live a godly life as young women in this world. Fight to be faithful to Jesus Christ every day, every moment of your life. Fight the good fight of faith. The text is saying to us that we must view the Christian life from this perspective, that the Christian life is the good fight of faith. How strange that sounds today. The church and the world is saying to Christians, don't fight. What you believe is not all that important that you should fight to maintain it. Let it go. Just join us. Agree to compromise the things that you believe. Get along and we'll have a great world and you'll have a good life. But God says the faith, the truth of Jesus Christ as the only Savior, the truth of sovereign grace by which you are saved, belonging to Christ. Fight for that faith that has been given to you, for that new life that Christ has placed within you. Fight over that. Be faithful to that. You have experienced this fight. You don't begin that fight tonight when you make confession of your faith. You have experienced that already within yourself against your sins. And you've experienced that now as you've gone to college and had jobs and gone out into the world. You know, you have a pretty good idea what this fight of faith is all about. And God says tonight, the fight will only become more intense. We are living in the last days of the church. And God says, fight the good fight of faith. This word of God is directed tonight to young people. Of course, it's directed to all of us, but it's written especially to young people. Paul is writing to his spiritual son, Timothy, who is the pastor at the church of Ephesus and is contending with a fair amount of problems and with false doctrines. But more than writing to Timothy as a pastor, this is the inspired word of an older child of God, of the Apostle Paul, who carries many scars of his faith, who has gone through a spiritual warfare in his life, and now he is writing to a younger child of God. And therefore, it is God's word, as I said, to all of us, but it is especially a word of God directed toward youth as they are coming into the place of your responsibility, as you are leaving your parents' home, as you are called now to make your own life and confession in this world, to live on your own. Note with me the words, but thou, O man of God, but thou, are words of distinction. Paul is saying, in distinction from the people that I've been talking about, whose life is simply to live out of the love of money, whose life is nothing more than this present world. That's all they have. You, in distinction, are a man of God. You are a child of God. Your source is of God. You have been born of God. You, as a child of God, as a woman of God, you fight the good fight of faith. The church needs young people. She needs young, godly, committed women in this last day who fight the good fight of faith, who are not just drifting, not filled with no purpose, but filled with one purpose, convicted in the truth of God and of Jesus Christ. Note with me also before an introduction yet that Timothy, or Paul, is pointing Timothy to his confession of faith. And that's an important part of this text. He reminds Timothy that he had made a profession of faith before many witnesses. That was probably in the town of Lystra where Paul found him. And evidently, it was quite a remarkable and beautiful confession of faith, like tonight. Many witnesses, many people have come to see this confession of faith. Think of Timothy. He grew up in that pagan town of Lystra. There were many unconverted Jews, and he was of a Jewish mother. His father was unbelieving, and he stood up in the church and he made confession of his faith. That was a stirring moment. Just like on the mission field when young people come to make confession of their faith, it was a powerful moment. So also it was a powerful moment tonight when you stood up before many witnesses to confess your faith in Jesus Christ. And now God says to you, that's not something for you to move on from. You're going to get a little certificate from the consistory of your confession of faith and a book. And you'll put that certificate in your drawer, and you'll take it out occasionally. But your confession of faith is not something that you put in a drawer of your life. But your confession of faith is something you need to live every day of your life. You are a confessing member of the Bride of Jesus Christ, of the Church of God on earth. Your life must not be lived in indifference, but with a holy resolve. Fight the good fight of faith. Let's look at that. Fight the good fight of faith. Let's see the good fight. Let's see how to fight it. And finally, the powerful encouragement. Every Christian is to be engaged in the good fight of faith in this world. That is what it means to be a Christian. This fight is a spiritual battle that rages within our hearts and lives. It's over the issue of who we will worship, for whom we will live, and who we will serve and love. It is not a physical fight with knuckles. It is not waged with knives or martial arts or kickboxing or guns. And it's not a fight that can be raised in your strength, out of your Dutch will, or out of a temper, or whatever you might have. These are weaknesses in God's sight. The apostle uses the word fight here, which is referring to boxing or to wrestling. He's referring again to the Olympic Games. And you know that Paul in the New Testament frequently uses those figures of the Olympic Games to describe the Christian life. He speaks of running the race. He speaks of fighting as one who does not beat the air, but who beats his opponent. And so that boxing of the Greek Olympics was intense. It was often a life or death struggle. They would fight to the bloody end until one was on a pile or a heap, unconscious or dead. That's what he's referring to. And in contrast to that Olympic boxing, Paul says, this is a good fight. Meaning, that's not a good fight. You should not be trying out for the world boxing, going into the cage type thing. If you want to enjoy physical exercise and be in good shape, that's fine. But you should not be thinking of going into kickboxing and seeing other people that you can beat up. That's not a good fight. I bring that up because our It's one of the signs of the end of the world that our age is obsessed with blood and gore. No, that's not a good fight. But this is a good fight over the name of God in my life, over who I shall live for, over who shall have my heart. That's a good fight. Paul says it's the good fight of faith. Now faith, we know from the Bible, is union to Christ. So what this fight is all over, we can boil it down to something real simple. It's all over Lord's Day 1 of the Heidelberg Catechism and your confession. I am not my own, but I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, in life and in death. The fight is all about that confession being seen in your life. Specifically, the word that Paul uses for faith is a reference to trust. And so the fight is over whom will you place your trust. And that goes with the context for Paul. The inspired apostle has been talking to Timothy in the context about many who he said erred from the faith. They fell away from the faith, and they pierced themselves through with many sorrows in their life. Their life became a misery to them. And how did that happen? Well, that happened over the love of money. It happened because they trusted in earthly things. They erred from the faith because they gave their heart, their pursuit, what would give them comfort, their goal, to the things of this life, to the pleasures of this life. To love money means that has become their God. It's what they live for. It's what they sought comfort in. What is that in your life? What do you live for? Who do you live for? What do you seek comfort in? That's your God. Do you live for clothes? Do you live for looks? Do you live for more possessions? Do you live for the things of this life? How much the world's applause? Is that what you want? The world's acceptance? Or do you live by faith in Jesus Christ? You said in your confession of faith, we will trust God alone. We will live for God's approval alone. We will worship God in truth alone. We are going to rely upon Him alone. Who is your trust tonight? Who is your God? It must be, and can only, the only true God is Jehovah God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's the fight of faith, that we trust and love and serve Him. Now, there are common factors in this fight of faith. The first is, as in any fight, you need to know yourself and you need to know your enemy. We have an enemy. And the enemy is superior to you and me of ourselves. And we need to know that. The goal of our enemy is to drive faith in Jesus Christ and in His truth, to drive the truth out of our hearts, to drive a holy life, to give us to compromise with our sins, to destroy our confidence in God's truth, and to turn us onto the love of the world. And you have been told who these enemies are, your own sinful flesh. For though the Lord dwells in you, you still have, and I still have, that sinful flesh that troubles us every day and fights against us. And you know that enemy is the wicked world around us, which allures, and more is not alluring, but threatening, that if you do not conform if you don't conform to what they think and what they believe is acceptance and right, then you will be persecuted and you will be denied. And then, of course, there's Satan, who's orchestrating it. And he knows. He knows what Erica, Tiffany, and Taylor said tonight. He knows. And he will mark you now. And you will receive in this fight blows and blows. And your enemy is not going to quit. There is no mercy in them. They are radical. They are ruthless. They are intolerant of the faith in Jesus that you confess. They are intolerant of it. And you and I are overmatched. You know the feeling when you played sports and when you were, you all played sports, when you were against superior competition and the other team was faster and the other team was stronger and the other team was smarter and the other team seemed to know your weakness and exploit it. So it is with this fight. The world of sin, your flesh, and the devil is quicker, smarter, and knows your weaknesses. And the goal is always that they would allure us away from the truth of God in Jesus Christ. And Satan and the world knows how to allure young women in Jesus Christ. He will promise you acceptance, love, and someone to care for you if you will compromise your purity. Your sexual purity. He will tell you that you'll be happy if you're beautiful, if you have the right clothes, the right friends, and the things of this world. He'll promise you everything that your sinful heart could desire. He knows how to set your mind upon yourself and not God. So you need to know your enemy, and you need to know yourself. And secondly, you need to know that this fight of faith is long, and it's wearisome, and it doesn't get easier. It's not that now you can expect that at a certain age, you come to a spiritual level, and the fight of faith is over, and you don't feel that anymore. I said a moment ago that the fight of faith did not begin for you tonight. I believe that. I know that. I know that's true of you. I know that you have been sincere as young girls in the church and as young women, and you have fought. You have fought in this battle. And now you have experienced that the fight is harder because you went out. You went to college and you came out of a protected spiritual environment. And you had to confront yourself, this wicked world. And as we go forward in our spiritual life, the battle does not become easier. It is intensifying in these last days before Christ come. And we know that. And the enemy is not going to leave you alone. And you will be pressed. Join the party. The drinking, the bars. Beautiful young women go clubbing. They will invite you to concerts and to movies, not godly ones. How are you going to respond? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal ground, on eternal life. You must grow in your faith, but right now, don't worry about what you don't know. Be faithful to what you do know. Witness boldly in your life to what you do know. Be faithful to what you have. Don't compromise what you know. Thirdly, you must know about this fight that you have received training. And this is the most important thing for you to know now tonight, if you take the fight seriously. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You have been equipped. Your parents, your fathers have drilled you. Sometimes you thought they were drilling you. You have received the blessing of the Christian church and the preaching of the gospel. You have received the blessing of the Christian schools. You have been trained for this battle. Don't be discouraged. You have strength. Not if you rely on yourself, but when you rely upon God. It is not impossible to live a godly, joyful, thankful Christian life as young women. It's not impossible. Don't think that that's impossible, that you're not going to have any friends or you're not going to get married or all these other things. No. You can fight this good fight of faith. It is possible to be a godly young woman right now in this world because Jesus Christ lives and he lives in you and his word is true. And his word is for you. And God is with you. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You can, by God's grace, yes, with repentance, you can live a godly life. You can fight. The word of God tells us that we fight this good fight of faith in two ways. Flee and follow, and that's verse 11, which leads to verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. How? Flee these things and follow after these things. The first way that we fight the good fight of faith is flee, and that seems strange, very strange. We fight by running away? Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's very important. And there are young men and young women who have fallen on this battlefield of faith exactly because we did not flee. The Christian life is a constant fleeing. The Apostle Paul is going to say in 2 Timothy chapter 2 to you, flee youthful lusts. Don't give yourself over. Don't try to be tantalized. Don't see how close you can come to the fire. Flee them. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Don't go there. Young men, don't look at it. As men, we are attracted through our eyes. We want to sneak a peek in pornography. Don't do that. Don't let your mind go there. Don't think that you can't control your mind. Ask God that he give you grace to control your mind. The angels said to Lot, up, get thee out of this place. There are certain places that we have to get out of. The book of Revelation says, come out from her, my people, and touch not the unclean thing, and be not partakers of her sins. Flee. Flee these things, says Paul, and those things are the love of money. Flee pride. Flee envy. Flee self. Flee the things that the world is pursuing. Everything that the fallen world is pursuing are things that we are fleeing. Sexual lusts. Revealing dress. Suggestive, foul language with four-letter words. There are ways to do that. We know the ways. But let me underscore that the way that we do this is always striving for a clean conscience. For we sin. And we are allured. And a clean conscience is a conscience. Psalter 140. We were so thankful as consistory when that number was chosen. God be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. That's the Christian life. That's how you flee. You keep your heart soft. Don't let your heart become hard, calloused, that you don't care anymore about sin. So flee. Flee music. Flee anything that is contrary to your faith. And then follow. Follow after, says the apostle. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. I would call those the six endangered species. If the word follow means pursue, track down. They're not easy to find. When you're tracking something, it's not standing in plain daylight. So Paul says, track down, hunt. Hunt these six down. And I would call those six endangered species. You don't find that much in the world. Righteousness, godliness, living like a godly life, faith, faithfulness, love, patience, and meekness. And what the apostle is saying to us tonight is that we do it this way. We must live in a way that is consistent with our profession of faith. Do not be a minimalist, the minimum. And you can always tell a minimalist in the Christian faith who's looking for the minimum. Person who comes into the Christian faith and just tell me the minimum. And you can tell the minimalist by this, that they will always be asking the question, why not? What's wrong with it? Don't live your life asking what's wrong with it. That's negative. Live your life asking, how can I best serve God today? How can I most glorify God? What will draw me closer to God? Live a life consistent with your profession of faith. You won't grow automatically in your faith. That comes through exercise. Keep a clean conscience. It's a very good thing that you don't know what it is to have a buzz from drinking or drugs. That's a good thing that you don't know. It's a good thing to live sexually pure. It's a good thing to go to God and ask him to forgive if we have been unfaithful and to make us clean in the blood of Christ and resolve to live a pure sexual life. That's a good thing. It's a good thing that you say at times to other people, no, I don't do that. Yes, I do go to church. Why do you have to go twice? For the love of it, is what you say. For the love of it. Paul gives to Timothy and to us powerful encouragements. He says, fight, and fight this way, by laying hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Let's look first at that last part of the verse where Paul is reminding Timothy of the time that he made confession of faith in the church at Lystra. Paul is saying, Timothy, we heard you. There were many witnesses the night that you made confession of faith. We heard you say, I have eternal life through Jesus Christ my Lord. I am his and he is mine forever. We heard you. We heard that profession. What does it mean to confess our faith? Is it simply something that we do? It's expected of us? No. It's something the Lord wants us to do. When we confess our faith, we are saying the same. To confess is to say the same as God. It's to say the same as Christ. It is to identify yourself by his grace as a child of God. It is to say that the name of God is upon me. And Paul says to Timothy, and we say to you three young women, we heard you. We heard you. We heard you. Angels heard you. They're here. God heard you. It was not a formal thing. It was something of the heart. It was that you said, by his grace, that you know your Savior, that you love his word, that you confess his truth, and that you will follow that truth, and that you will live as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ on earth, and you will hold up that church in your life. Now, Paul says that should be an encouragement to you. The Word of God says that our confession must not be detached from our life. The confession of faith is not just a mind thing, but it's how, by God's grace, I will live in this world. That's the most important thing here. Confession of faith is not detached from life. We like to do that. We like to detach our faith from life. We like to do that tomorrow morning, perhaps in a business deal. It's business, after all. Or perhaps with this sin. Yeah, I was in church Sunday night. I heard that profession of faith. I heard the sermon. Yeah, fight the good fight. Yes, yes. But there's this sin right now that I want. And it's only going to be once. And then it will be over. And God forgives. We like to detach our faith from our life. Or we become all balled up in the inside. Our stomach turns. We're anxious. We're afraid. Why? Because we have detached our emotions from our faith. Don't detach your faith from your life. Live now this confession every day. And understand that you're not alone. It's very hard to fight if you're alone. But you've confessed your faith before many witnesses. Now, why does Paul say that? Well, he says that to Timothy and to us because, yes, there are many there to hold Timothy and to hold you accountable. But positively, there are many to help you. You made confession of faith in an assembly where you weren't hooted down. They didn't jeer you. That day's coming. But here you have row upon row of people who make the same confession as you. And when you make that confession of faith, they say, yes, that's mine too. And I will help you. And so when you made confession of faith, this is why public confession of faith is important. Why public? Why public? So that your brothers and sisters can hold you accountable
to what you said. And so that your brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ will help you, because we can't fight alone. No one can fight alone. And we don't do that enough. We need to talk more. We need to encourage each other more and help more, because we're in the same fight. God gave you by grace to say your confession. And then there's the words, lay hold on eternal life to which you have been called. That eternal life that you lay hold of tonight is not just in the future, but it's right now. It is in you. He that believeth in me, said Jesus, has eternal life. It is beating within your heart. You have been called. That's the saving and the effectual call of God. You have been called to eternal life. That's the voice of Jesus Christ speaking in your heart. Not the voice of a man, not just words on a page. But you have heard the Word of God, you have read the Word of God, and you have heard the voice of the living Savior. My sheep hear my voice. You have heard Jesus speaking, not in the wind, but through His Word into your heart. And this is what He said. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You are mine. Now lay hold of that. Lay hold of that eternal life. Lay hold of it with both hands of faith. Never let that go. Think about that. Paul was near to death as he speaks to young people with many miles and many battles ahead. And he says, lay hold of eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith. Young women, the joy of our hearts and of your parents and of the congregation, be fruitful in your Christian life. Walk with God. But fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Relying every moment upon a faithful Savior who has loved you and will never forsake you. Amen. We thank Thee, Father, for Thy Word, a Word that is spoken in weakness, but wilt Thou use it in power. And may Thy living Word dwell in our hearts tonight. May we go home to our houses rejoicing, rejoicing in Thee. Keep us faithful in this good fight of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.